Blog Talk Radio.
Project's live call-in show. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm the host of the show, and I bring you greetings from the nation's capital. Tonight's program is very special. We will discuss a topic that is important to many writers, including myself, the art and craft of book promotion and marketing. In a few minutes, I'll formally introduce our guest tonight, marketing expert Sherry Woods, but I'd like to share the format of the show. I will first interview Ms. Woods and read some of the many questions that were submitted via email and Twitter, so thank you so much for sending your question. Then I will open up the phone line for listeners to ask Ms. Woods questions. So please stay on the line, listen, take notes so that you can ask questions during the Q&A period. Thank you very much. Again, I'm very excited about our guest tonight, Sherry Woods. Again, as a budding author myself, I, too, have many questions about marketing and promotion, the promotional aspect of publishing. But again, Ms. Sherry Woods, let me talk about Sherry. Ms. Woods, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Sherry. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. In the past,
and I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, hey, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. As you can tell, I'm really pleased that you're here. In the past 14 years, Sherry Woods, a native of Toronto, Canada, has held both professional staff and senior management positions in the field of arts and culture institutions, as well as agencies and government in Toronto, Canada, the Midwest, and East Coast of the United States. She has also worked as a consultant with over 15 clients in the U.S. and Canada who receive customized PR marketing services that increase their media and marketing presence. Her latest endeavor is the creation of the Marketing PR Workshop for Writers, and she is currently working on a handbook to go along with this workshop. If you'd like to reach Ms. Woods after the show, you can email her at eclecticpr.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at eclectic, E-C-L-E-C-T-I-C, PR.com. Again, Ms. Woods was one of the founding members and past president of the National Black Public Relations Society, Detroit chapter. She currently sits on the Baltimore Public Relations Council Board and is a member of the Black Writers Guild of Maryland. She has been featured in several publications for her work, including Sister to Sister, the Toronto Star, the Toronto World Art Scene, TellUsDetroit.com, Who's Who in Black Detroit, Michigan Chronicle, The Culvert Chronicles, NYC, and Rolling Out Magazine. She has also published her first book of poetry, Free to Be Me, Poems on Love, Life, and Relationships, under the pseudonym Sherry Shamor. So, Ms. Woods, welcome again tonight. How are you?
I am well, and I'm really excited to be here. And, again, thank you for inviting me to be part of the show.
Great. Again, there are a number of questions that were submitted by our listeners, and I'd like to get started, if that's okay.
Okay, let's do that.
All right. There are definite differences between traditional and self-published books. What are the differences for doing marketing and PR for traditionally published books, large or small, and a self-published book?
Well, there are several differences, but before I respond to that question, I first of all, I want to applaud all authors who have decided to self-publish. because I can speak from experience, you've really embarked on an exciting but a very challenging road. It's really gratifying to believe in your work enough to make it real and to publish it. But in some ways, you end up having a lot of work to do on your book. But you know what? In the learning process, you will find fulfillment and you'll be so much more knowledgeable about the publishing process. So, I mean, the biggest difference between marketing for a traditionally published book and a self-published book. Well, publishers, if you're with a publishing company, a traditional publishing company, they have resources. They have staff. They have networks. They have distribution services. They have connections with bookstores. And they also have strong relationships with the press to get book reviews and interviews for their authors. As a self-published author, in many ways, you're on your own. So you must hire your own editor, your own publicist, book your own events, build your own website, hire a graphic designer. And you may not always know what to look for from these specialists or how much you should pay them. And I do say that you're on your own, but what I want to say to self-published authors
yes.
is that there are many writing groups. There are other self-published authors. You can take workshops. You can go online and do your research. So even if I say you're on your own, the difference between you doing your marketing and PR and someone with a publishing company is that you have to do the research. But the research is out here, and as I said, there are many workshops, there are writing groups, so you really don't have to get that information all on your own. And I encourage you to find a group of other authors and get that support.
Okay, great. I remember years ago when I attempted to self-publish a book, and this was in the early 2000s, there was a real stigma against self-published authors. It was viewed as being less than. What do you think about that now in this day and time in terms of self-publishing?
You know, I've been in those situations where I have been forced to defend self-published authors. And I think there's a slow change happening, strictly because the reality is that between 600,000 and 1 million books are published every year in the U.S., and about half of them are actually self-published. So self-published authors can no longer be ignored. We're part of the process now. And so I see a slow respect being built by the media, by publishing companies. And something new that's happening as well is a lot of traditionally published authors are now self-publishing their own books. So I think in another few years we're going to be pretty close. It's going to be pretty on par in terms of whether your book is self-published or traditionally published. I think what people are going to look for is the quality of the book, and we're getting there slowly.
Okay, great. So some of these traditional published authors who are now self-publishing, do you have any examples that we can look to?
None comes. There's a few names, but right now those names kind of are not, I guess they've slipped my mind. But I will tell you that any of the popular authors, particularly contemporary authors writing about contemporary situations and contemporary novels, if you do that research again, you will find that a lot of them have self-published early in the process or are self-publishing now. If anyone wants to get some of those names, I encourage you to go online or you can send me an email and I'll dig out some of those authors for you and share their names with you.
Oh, not a problem. I guess I was thinking, and I'm sure she's not a traditional author in the sense of having gone through a publishing house initially, but the person who published 50 Shades of Grey. That's a self-published book, I believe.
Exactly. That's a wonderful, wonderful example of someone who self-published and then was later picked up by a publisher. So that's something else I want to talk about. Even if you did self-publish your novel, it does not mean that later on, you know, if you get enough attention online and you get a lot of buyers, that a publisher may not be open to publishing your book. So self-publishing can also be a way of just establishing a brand and getting your name out there enough so that you do attract a traditional publisher if that's the path you want to take.
Right, great. Here's a question that we received from a person in Chicago. Her question states, many have heard that writing a book is the easy part and the hard part is marketing and PR. What makes marketing and PR so challenging, and how can authors get the biggest bang for their buck?
Well, I mentioned that a little earlier. There are between 600,000 and 1 million books published every year in the U.S. So when you're about to release your book, think about that level of competition to get buyers, to get readers, to get attention. That's what you're dealing with. Another situation that I see a lot of first-time authors experiencing is oftentimes they wait until the book is actually published to begin to build interest, to begin to do marketing and PR for their book. The reality is, from the point of beginning to do marketing and PR, it could take really 6 months to a year to really get the name of your book out there. And when I say that, I don't mean within your own network, because everyone has a network. And Forbes.com actually said that without a lot of marketing and PR, a lot of first-time authors can sell up to about 250 books just within their network. And then usually around that time, you plateau. So what I'm talking about is outside of your network, outside of your city, outside of your state, and getting into that national, getting that national attention that most times authors want, you're talking about 6 months to a year. So, again, for those of you thinking of writing a book or halfway through, when you think you're about 6 months away from publishing that book, begin to build your brand. Begin to put your website out. Your book is coming. Some authors do pre-orders. Really start getting your name out there and your book out there.
Okay. You made the statement, begin to start building your brand, and actually that's a question from someone in St. Louis. How do you go about, how do you market yourself as a brand or think about yourself as a brand?
Well, I'm glad you said the word think. Because when you're thinking of branding, you really have to spend a lot of time in processing how you want to present yourself to the public. So is it that every book that you publish is going to be in black and white and you're going to use a specific font? Is that going to be your brand? Is the, you know, the colors that you use on your book? Is it the type of writing you're going to do? Is it the style of writing you're going to do? A great example of an author who has an excellent brand is Stephen King. I know that most people or all readers, when they hear Stephen King, is already an image of or thought about the type of book that they're going to read. They know he writes science fiction, but he also writes horror and suspense. And when you pick up a Stephen King novel, most people know what they're getting themselves into. So Stephen King has a brand. Another author, Terry McMillan, her genre is contemporary fiction, and her stories are about everyday people of African descent. There's a consistency in her stories, and her style of writing is pretty consistent as well. Think of the names of her books: Mama, Disappearing Acts, Waiting to Exhale, A Day Late and A Dollar Short, and her latest, Who Asked You? All of the names of those books, there's a symmetry and there's a similarity, even if every book is different. So Terry McMillan has a brand. She's known for a certain type of novel. So sit back and think about how you want your readers to see you. Are you going to be the author who, you know, starts every book with a quote or a spiritual message? Are you the author who will, I'm just saying, you know, will you always present yourself in silhouette? I mean, there's certain things that you can do. So a brand can be a big deal or it can be a small detail, but the key is that in every book that you published, there's that common element in all of your books, and that begins the building of your brand.
Let's go back a minute. I'm still processing your statement about it taking at least 6 months to a year prior to publishing a book to start building the marketing effort. I mean, that's such a long time, and that is something that could be discouraging to someone who's attempting to publish and they're ready, like I am, to publish my book in December. So what would you recommend for me to? Should I wait or should I continue?
No.
Or?
You know, I think it also depends on the process and the order in which you do things. Before you publish your book, I encourage all authors to conceptualize what your cover is going to be and get your cover design. Because technically, to begin your marketing PR process, you really need the cover and maybe one chapter or three or four pages from your book, and that can begin your marketing efforts. So you're giving people sort of the appetizer, and it makes them want more. Think of that. Think of your marketing prior to your book coming out as the appetizer before the meal. Get people excited so that by the time your book comes out, they're ready for it. They want it. They're ready to purchase it because you've given them some teasers already. Now, if you wait until your book is actually published in December and then you begin to, you know, do your marketing and PR, when are enough people actually going to hear about your book? It's got to take at the minimum 3 months to really get the word out. I mean, if you're trying to get stories in the media, think of the number of press releases media get. So you could be sending out a press release, and it could take 2 to 3 months for you to actually get a story in a printed publication or on the news. So, again, I want to encourage everyone to remember the competition that's out here and how many people are writing books. And I think then you'll understand that actually 6 months to a year is not a long time.
All right. So it's important then to pretty much to whet the appetite for your book. And what I'd like to do now is to whet the appetite for the continuation of our conversation by taking a small break. So please hold on. Thank you. We'll be right back. We are back. Again, my name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with our special guest, Sherry Wood, the marketing expert extraordinaire, and she's sharing her expertise and talent with us in terms of self-publishing, particularly or primarily in terms of the marketing and PR part of the process. Sherry, we received a question from someone in St. Louis.
Okay.
All right.
Let's hear it.
Someone in St. Louis. Social media is literally everywhere. For writers, how important is social media? How successful can you be with or without it?
Social media is very important, and I think we all know that because I think most people are using some form of social media. For writers, I believe social media adds to your success. And I think it's a good way to get your networks aware of your book. But at the end of the day, social media doesn't grow your fame. It's a reflection of your fame. And it's a tool, not a mechanism to sell your book. So, yes, you need your Facebook or your Twitter or your Instagram, but you need a good product. You still need a good website, and people still need to see you at readings, to see you in the press. So I think it's an addition to your marketing and PR efforts, and I think it also is important because I think now if you're not on social media, most people think you're kind of outdated or antiquated, so it's almost become its own PR that you need to be on some type of social media to be relevant. But, again, it doesn't necessarily sell your book, but it does grow your fan base slowly. Your book ultimately sells itself when someone buys the book and thinks it's great and tells someone else. Those are my thoughts.
It's funny. All right. We received a number of questions from listeners in St. Louis. It must be our hugest market.
Okay.
So in terms of social media,
right,
this particular person wants to know, should I choose Twitter or Instagram or Facebook? Is there any variation between the three? How should I do it? I mean, which one should I choose first? Well, St. Louis. We love you, St. Louis. All right.
If you're choosing strategically and wisely, then it depends on the type of book that you've written. So if I'm writing if I've written a children's book, my readership or my purchaser will be mothers of children. There's research that's available online, particularly, that says, where do most mothers of young children, what social media are they using the most? Choose that social media. If I'm writing a novel, a romance novel, and I believe that my readership are women between the ages of 25 to 40, what social media software are they using? Are they on Facebook? Are they tweeting? Are they on Instagram? Then that's my primary, the primary social media that I should have a presence on. So separate just being on the social media that you like as, you know, an individual, and think about the social media that's relevant to the type of book that you have as an author. And I also encourage, you know, authors, sometimes if you're on Facebook, your Facebook page for your personal, you know, your personal friends may not be the best Facebook page for your book. And be very aware, if you're putting yourself out there as an author, that people are looking at every single thing that you post. So that's something, again, from our perspective, to be aware of.
Ms. Woods, I have 5,000 Facebook friends. 5,000.
Okay.
Isn't that 5, phenomenal?
5,000. Okay.
But you're saying
your
that's still not the best. You're saying that's still not the best way to go in terms of branding myself.
Well, what type of book have you written? And who are your Facebook friends? I say yes. Let them know you've written a book. But at the same time, if you're representing yourself as an author, be aware of what you're posting on that same Facebook page as well.
I do understand.
Because now you stop just being Michael Ingram, and you're now Michael Ingram, the author. And so everything that you post on that page now could affect your sales and your popularity in terms of your being an author.
Oh, wow. Now, that is really an important note to think about. You are who you are, wherever you are. You need to make that distinction between the two. I really like that. We've got a question here from the West Coast, actually, Santa Barbara, California.
Oh, wow.
Santa Barbara, yes.
Okay.
This is their question. His question. What is the single most important thing I need to think about if I plan to promote and or market my book?
What is the single most important thing you need to think about? Your brand is important. There's so many important things. But I think, what is the goal? Why are you writing this book? And I think, or my encounters with a lot of authors are, they've written this book, and I'm like, well, what do you want to do with this book? And oftentimes I get a blank response. What is your goal with the book? Are you trying to create a stream of revenue for yourself? Are you establishing yourself as an authority in the field, and your book is just, you know, a vehicle to get your name out there so you can get booked as a motivational speaker? Is that the primary purpose of your book? Do you have a sales target for your book? So do you want to sell 700 in 2015? Are you more interested in having people read your book than the sales of your book? Because then you might just do an e-book, because you're not looking at your book as a revenue stream, but you want to have lots of readers. So I think you need to establish realistic, attainable, and, of course, exciting goals for writing your book. I think if you start out knowing why you wrote the book and what you want to do with it, it really helps you select the path, the budget, and the way that you're going to do marketing and PR for your book?
I'd like to be known as the greatest poet of all time and sell 12 million books. That's my goal.
Okay, well, what's your time frame?
We can talk about that.
The greatest poet of all time.
Of all time, of all time.
Wow.
But again, I can understand whether it's based on intrinsic value of publishing or the external piece in terms of earning revenue. So again, it is important, as you shared, to make that distinction.
Exactly.
The final question is final question, and then we'll open it up to callers, is one that came in from, let's see here, Atlanta, Georgia, to be quite honest. All right. Yes. They wanted to know if you, Sherry Wood, had to do your marketing and PR campaign again for your own publications, what would you do differently? I think that's a pretty nice question. What would you do differently, too?
I would have, in a way, I had established my brand on the poetry side probably about 5 years prior to actually doing the book. I think what I didn't do, which I should have done, is I would have had my book cover designed, as I'm advising, probably 6 months to a year, and really started pushing the book cover and done exactly what I said earlier. Started talking about the book, sharing some of my pieces about the book, and building that excitement that I think people, you know, that whole advertising campaign, coming soon, coming in 4 months. I would have done that in a better time frame than I actually did. But as a first-time author, even if I had done spoken word, I was a bit insecure about actually writing a book, because to me there's a big difference between performing and doing music, poetry CDs to the book. So I had that whole intimidation factor as an artist, and it made me pause. And I know moving forward, when I do my second book, there will be no pause, because I've gotten through that first experience. And a lot of times I tell first-time authors, that first book is really your practice book, because a lot of times you'll make errors, you'll make mistakes, you'll find out maybe you needed more editing. And usually your second book, a lot of times, is the one that really takes you to that next level.
I know with my first book, I sold it out of the trunk of my car.
Yay.
And I'm sure there's some books still in the trunk of my car 12, 15 years later.
Well,
so,
you know, a lot of artists started selling from the trunk of their car, so there's no that's a great way to start.
Well, as I've had an opportunity to read about you in terms of your background and your publishing and your work, you've published CDs as well as traditional books of poetry. Now, many of our listeners are poets. Some are spoken word poets. Some are traditional poets in terms of that writing side of it. Any feedback for those two groups? Any comments that they may need to know?
Well, if you're going from being a spoken word artist to an author of poetry, understand there is a definite difference in how you write. And I had to learn that, because most of my poetry experience had been in doing spoken word. And when you're doing spoken word, there's a lot of opportunity for expression and changing your tone to really convey your message. When you're writing, that disappears. So I know in the transition for me, I took several poetry writing workshops, and I got a lot of feedback. Fortunately, I have a network of artists in my life, so I had a couple published poets look at my poetry and to give me more insight, because what I wasn't doing was writing as descriptively as I needed to be as a written poet. Because as I said, when you're performing spoken word, there's so much opportunity to convey your message. But when you're writing, you're creating a picture with your words. So I definitely had to go through a transition and see this as something you can always improve upon. See writing as something that can always get better. It's a craft. And I think oftentimes a lot of authors think, well, I have this great idea and I'm just going to write it. Okay, write it, but then You're not writing for yourself, and I often say that to my clients. You're writing for the public. So when I design my book cover, I send it out to about 15 people to ask what they saw when they saw that book cover, what did they think about. In fact, I had 2 book cover selections, and I sent it out to several people to get their feedback before I made a decision. Please remember, you're not writing for yourself. You're writing for the public. So it's so important to share with other people and ask, you know, people not in the field, people who are readers, your friends who read a lot, what do you think of this? Share that, because that's your market. Those are the people that are going to buy your book.
I think that's a great place to stop. And now we'll open up the line for callers, but we'll take a short break and come right back with callers on the air. All right. And callers, if you're out there, please introduce yourself by name, of course, and also with your question. And tell us where you hail from. All right. Thank you. 1 second. Good evening, everyone. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. You're live with us on DC Poetry Project's call-in show. We're here with Sherry Wood discussing marketing and PR on a dime for writers. Again, a very special episode. We're now going to open up the line for callers. So, again, please share your name, where you're from, and then ask your question. So, again, we're going to open up with a person. Here we are. Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Caller, are you there?
Michael?
Yes. Hello.
Hey, this is Angela. How are you?
Hello, Angela. How are you tonight? Where are you from, Angela?
I am from Maryland, Greenbelt, Maryland.
All right.
And
great.
I've been enjoying the tips. So, Sherry, thank you so much. I've been taking notes and listening simultaneously.
Okay.
And I really didn't have a question. I was actually going to type in a question, so I was trying to do some logging on online and listening at the same time. But I may have a question later. But I've really been enjoying the show. It's been
good.
Right.
Thanks. I'm glad. Glad you're getting some tips.
Thank you. Thank you, Angela. Angela's a faithful caller. Again, hold on 1 second. Here we go. This person here, poet, you're on the air. Can you hear me? Hello? Poet, are you there? To another person here. Good evening. You're on the air. Poet, are
Hello?
You there? Yes. You've reached the DC Poetry Project line. How are you tonight? Can you hear me?
Hi there.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Do you have I can hear you, yes. Do you have a question
great.
For Ms. Woods? Yes. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Janice. I'm from Toronto, Canada.
Please introduce yourself.
Hey, great. Toronto.
Toronto, Canada. Wow. Right. Do you have a question
for
Ms. Woods?
Yes. I've been doing poetry since the early 90s, and I actually know Ms. Woods. And my question is, I've been out of the scene for a while, and I'm getting back into it. People have been asking me for a book over for the last how many years, so I'm finally compiling all my poems. So my thing is, how many poems do you actually put into your book?
Oh, wow, Janice, you... I don't know if that's marketing and PR, but let me just say to everyone who's listening in, I've known Janice a long time, haven't seen her in a long time, but... And during my time in Toronto, she was one of the best poets. I mean, amazing poet. And so, yeah, I've often wondered, where is that book? So it's really good to hear that you do that. Janice, I'm going to, and I don't know that I'm an expert on this, but I say to people, it's a book, so make it somewhat substantial. Of course, poetry is a little different. But I will tell you that from going through the self-publishing process, try to have, more so than how many poems, try to have at least 80 pages. So whatever format you end up using, whatever size the book is, try to ensure that you have about 80 pages. There's a limit in terms of, or there's a minimum in terms of when getting your book bound and having enough content so you can have the name of the book on the, and the word escapes me, but on the edge of the book, the part that shows when it's on a shelf, there's a page minimum that you need to have. So I would say 80 pages, and that's probably about 40 to 50 poems, depending on the length of your poems. So make it substantial because it's poetry, it's a book, and you're getting it bound, and I say, you know, at least 80 pages, I think, for a book of poetry is I would say, your minimum. But please go online and do research, but I'm pretty sure that's kind of in the ballpark for poetry.
All right, thank you. We have
I hope that helped, Janice, and let me know when that book's done.
All right, we have another caller here. Hold on 1 second. Poet, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
Hey,
please introduce yourself,
Michael.
and where you're from.
My name is Gary Malone, and I'm from Athens, Alabama.
Good evening, Gary. How are you tonight?
I'm well. Doing well. Wonderful. Gary. Enjoying the show, just listening.
Okay. All right. Gary's one of our favorite poets. And do you have any questions, Gary, from Ms. Woods?
I was just absorbing it. I was like, Angela, this business is just absorbing the information, you know, and she pretty much answered a lot of the questions that I may have had or was thinking about, but not at this moment I don't, but I'm just, like I said, I'm mostly just enjoying the information that she's putting out there.
Okay, and is the information helping you and making you think about, you know, this whole process a little bit more?
Yeah, yes, it is. It makes me like, it's like, I don't even want to.
No.
That's gonna work. I don't even want to go through that, all that. I don't even want to do the book now.
That's exactly what I don't want you or want listeners to think. I just want you to understand. And again, remember I said earlier in the show, it really depends on where you want to go with this book. So, you know, a lot of what I'm sharing is if, long-term, and this is long-term, that you want to, you know, be known nationally. So start where you are. Publish that book. You have a network. You have the DC Poetry Show to call in and read your work. Start where you are. Publish the first book. See how that feels. See how it sells. And then at your second and third book, you can build up to that level, you know, and make your mistakes and find out what works. And then the second or third book is where you would get to some of the things that I'm talking about. But I just want you to have this information, but this does not necessarily have to happen with your first book. So please understand that, and please do not be discouraged.
Okay.
Gary, state it like you mean it. You will not be discouraged.
Yeah, I was about to say, you just got to know me. I heard you just got to know. I got a book at a publisher now, on the desk of a publisher, and that is why I've been so long, because I don't want to do the PR and the marketing part. I don't want to do that. That's why I have been. I don't want to do that. I even told him that before he asked me to send the manuscript, and I really don't even want to do it. I just want to write and put it out there, and because I didn't really. I mean, I would like for it to sell or whatever, but it ain't going to be no thing off to me. That ain't my ultimate goal to have to be a you know, I don't know. I'm just not interested in that part, that aspect of it. I just want to write, put the book out there, and people read it and enjoy it, and that's it. That's what I want to do.
Okay, and remember again, I said it depends on your goal, because one of the goals that I listed was some people just want people to read their work, get their message, and that's enough for them. So if that's enough for you, then you're on point. Now, after you publish your book and it's out there, you may change your mind. But for right now, if you just want to get it out there and have people read it, then you don't need to do a lot of the things that I've talked about. You're
okay.
Good. So, again, it depends on what you personally want as an author and a poet, what you want for your book.
But that's what I want. I just want to, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. And, Gary, based on what you've shared with us week after week, your work is incredible, and it has a lot of value.
Yeah.
So please get it out there. Please get it out there. We have another caller.
Thank you.
Hold on one second. Thank you, Gary. Hold on. Poet, you're on the air. Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? Well, maybe this person's just like to listen in, which is fantastic. All right. Are there any other questions? Any questions?
Hey, Michael, this is Angela. I actually do have a question as I've been sitting here and listening some more. So, Sherry, most of my introduction of my work to the world has been through my website. And you know, in listening to you earlier, I really think I probably should have done, you know, some it's coming, and, you know, now it's here prior to that, prior to my launching it in January. And so as I sit here now and listen to you, one of the questions that comes to mind is I post a story and a poem once a week. And I've been questioning whether or not that frequency does it match the time that people now take to spend reading? And do you have any advice or any tips on should I continue with the frequency of once a week, or should I rethink about how I'm packaging the stories and the poem? Because one of the things that I wanted to do differently as a poet was to give insight into how the poem came to be, which sometimes you don't get from a poet. But even within that insight, I am intentionally burying, or not necessarily burying, but I am trying to lift people to think differently, to think more positively, to think, to really have some aha moments in terms of something that their character can, some area of their character that they can grow in. And so that, so even though there's a story that is attached to this poem and it gives insight to it, but there's also some inspiration that is embedded in the story and some encouragement and some, you know, some really prodding to just be a better human being. And I've just recently been wondering, is the frequency of once a week enough? I don't want to do it any more frequent than any. I don't want to increase that in terms of more a week, but I'm wondering if I were to go to every 2 weeks or if I went to every month, just to really give some people, you know, give people time to read it. Is that something I should consider at this point? So, what are your thoughts as a PR person?
My thoughts. The most important factor in any type of communication to me is consistency. So if
mm-hmm.
you're doing it once a week, try to do it every week on the same day. However, when you talk about the depth of the message that you're sending out, one is poetry, and then you want to influence behavior, you want to add the reasoning for the message. I begin to think that once a week might be too frequent, because for
mm-hmm.
me to absorb that type of message takes time, And then you've got to think about all the competing, you know, information that your readers are receiving, and mm-hmm. your message is not a light message. I don't want to, you know, one of the things that you, I don't know if you can, if you have any type of analytics on your website or the email that you're sending out, but a big factor in this, outside of just what I think, is how many people are actually reading, you know, these messages that you send out weekly. Is there a way for you to see that? Are they opening this email? Are they reading it? How long are they spending reading it? Are they, can you get that type of analytics? Because then you have factual.
Yeah, I can, and I actually haven't been real great at looking at the information and and analyzing the pieces where I can see how, you know, if they read it, if they forwarded it, if they even opened it. But I do use Constant Contact to send out email messages. And I would say right now about 1/4 of what I'm sending out is getting opened. And so
that's good.
I think that's one of the reasons why, well, I feel like that's not good, but thank you very much. you know, so that's one of the reasons why we're starting to really just think about, you know, a better, do I need to change my strategy? Because I know that, you know, I like what you said earlier about, you know, you are writing for the public. And, you know, as much as I'm in love with the words, you know,
right.
I don't want it to just be a love affair that I'm having. I want other people to, you know, come on board and, you know, and really be, wow, you know, what is she going to post next week? Or did you see last week's post? Well, no, I missed it, but can you, you know, well, where is it? You know, I want that kind of followership to happen. And so I want to make sure that my strategy matches that goal. And that's why I was just beginning to, you know, really start to think, am I, you know, is it the right strategy? Because we, you know, we live in a world where people are, you know, with Constant Contact, I've learned that you really got to get somebody's attention in about 52 seconds.
Right.
And it's probably quicker than that. That was a few months ago. So, but yet, you know, I'm writing messages that are not necessarily 52-second messages, you know, the time that you need to read it. I mean, you could probably read it in 52 seconds, but you might miss the depth if that's all you give it. And so just really, you know, trying to think of am I doing the right thing? You know, am I'm doing what I am loving, but like I said, I don't want it to just be a love affair with just me. You know, I want other people to be on board.
I think if you're having that love affair and you love what you're doing, then it is the right thing. The question is the frequency and how it's being delivered. So if a quarter of the people that you're sending this email to actually reading it, I think that those are good numbers. I think what you might need to do, maybe you want to try once a month or biweekly, but I think what you need to do sometimes, maybe just ask your readership, one, and two, can you find a prompt somewhere in that e-blast that you're sending out that will prompt some of your readers to respond? Can you ask a question? Can you how did this speak to you in any way? Is there a story you want to share? Can you do something that might encourage the your market that's receiving this e-blast to respond back to you?
Okay.
You create a survey maybe at the six-month mark and ask them what they'd like to see and see who responds, because I think you need to get some feedback from the people you're sending out to make sure that you're on point. But just instinctively, your messages are deep and they're heartfelt. Weekly might be a lot.
Okay.
So I don't know how that is for you with your time availability, but I just know with depth it takes time. I see that even when I read, because my poems tend to be not very long, but I'm told they're deep and they make people think. And oftentimes when I would read at first and there would be silence in the room and I would think, did they not like it? But then I would get feedback later on. No, it made us think. So
right,
I don't know
right.
if I would have, and I would consider myself a fairly deep person and I like poetry, but once a week, that might be a little too frequent.
Okay.
I would say, yeah, that's a lot for a deep message. I would say, why don't you try slowly, change it to bi-week, twice a month, and see how, and then look at your analytics.
Okay.
See if there's any change, if there's an improvement in how many people are opening it. Yeah, you know, sometimes you just have to test it to really see what's working.
Okay.
Now, so those are,
Angela,
those are my, off the top of my head.
Angela, what is the name of your website again so we can all find
right.
it then?
Thank you, Michael. It's www.poeticmustardseeds.com.
Right, poeticmustardseeds.com. And right, this is an opportunity for PR. So, again, I'm glad Michael pointed that out to you. This is your time. Always, I tell people every possible way, you know, you're always doing PR for your projects.
Right, thank
well,
you.
Well, speaking of PR, Ms. Woods offers a workshop called Marketing and PR on a Dime for Writers. And if you'd like to know more and you'd like to book Ms. Woods to speak, you can contact her through info@eclecticpr.com or here at the DC Poetry Project, letpoetryring@gmx.com. So, again, there are ways to get in touch with Ms. Woods so that she can come to wherever you are and share her marketing expertise. Are there any other questions? Well, one question that I have is that we've yet to talk about a price. How much does it cost in a realistic sense to
promote? Oh, you just had to go there,
didn't
you, Michael?
I did. Because
I'm glad you
question.
Did, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one that everyone gets, you know, really nervous about. You know, it's hard to put a definitive price on marketing and PR because it really there are so many factors that determine the price. So, if you feel that your book is, you know, going to be the next masterpiece and you're going to a PR agency, you know, you're going to get a lot more than just marketing and PR. You're going to get messaging, you're going to get branding. They'll probably be able to guarantee you more media hits. So, yes, it's going to be a higher price. You're working, it's really hard to say. It really, I mean, how I determine my pricing is I create a menu. And I sit and I, you know, I do a consultation. And realistically, I find out where the author is. Do you have a brand? Have you been out here doing things? Do you have a network? Are you a speaker? Then I have to do less work. If you've never done a reading, if no one knows who you are, you're really starting from scratch. So every consultant, fortunately, unfortunately, has a different way of doing things. I tend to start with 3 to 6 month contracts because I think almost when you're working with individual authors and you're a consultant, it's almost a therapeutic relationship, to be honest, and not all personalities work well together. So that 3 to 6 months gives you an opportunity to see if there's good synergy between you and see if you're satisfied with the work. I would say the range for a first-time author, 3 to 6 month contract, you're looking at $1,500 to $3,000. That's realistic. But you need to work with someone who can guarantee you some results. And, again, it depends. Do you have a website? Do you have a business card? Is your book published? Have you been selling your book? There are so many factors involved. It's just really hard to give a ballpark figure. But think thousands, not hundreds. I know that scares people, but think thousands, not hundreds.
Well, I think our listeners would like to publish quality works, and no pain, no gain, as they say. So I think that's important
yeah.
that we know
yeah.
what prices are realistically if we want to find a marketing PR person that's really going to give us the best bang for the buck, literally
right.
the best bang for the buck.
And let me say this, and I always say this to potential clients. If you are about to hire a marketing PR person and they're not interested in reading your book, I would question it.
That makes sense.
I would really question
it. That does make a lot of sense. If they're not interested
yeah, I would say that's a good starting point. that they want to read your book and then offer what they can do for you based on that book. I mean, because there are people out here who are calling themselves publicists because they know two or three people in the media and can get you an interview, but there's a lot more to it than just getting in the media. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that is necessary. I do everything from training clients how to do an interview, and there are some clients that I would not put on television. They're just not going to – they don't have that presence. They're just not good there. So we get print interviews or radio. So there's a lot of – you know, somebody just has one way of doing it, of doing marketing and PR for every client, I pause with that too because everyone has different skill sets and how they want to present their work.
That's a good place to stop for a second and take one last little break here, and we'll come right back. I haven't been to my workshop since I had a plan, though, but it was in the morning time. I'm going to have to take a women one day, though. Mm-hmm. We are back. We have about 3 minutes left. And I think what I'd like to do is to give this time to Sherry to just kind of wrap things up for us in terms of where we need to go from here, in terms of the possibility of marketing and publishing our book. Her final thoughts on the topic.
Final thoughts. Wow.
I know we've covered a lot of ground tonight.
Yeah, and there's always so much more. One of the things I really feel is important, and oftentimes people just want to jump in and write this book and get it out there, but again, I always are on the side of knowledge. And there are some basic things that I think authors need to do and often don't. One important thing, it's really, really important to know the genre that you're writing in. Now, sometimes people don't know what genre means, and that's okay because I didn't always know what genre meant. So the genre of the type of book you're writing, I write poetry, and my next book might actually be a business book about marketing and PR. Some people write contemporary fiction. Some people write suspense. Science fiction, inspirational, self-help. Really be clear on the type of genre you're writing in. Because if you have to speak to a publisher, you need to know what you're talking about and you need to sound as if you know, and then you can always catch up later. But the basic is I write science fiction. I write suspense novels. I write self-help. I write inspirational. Those are things that you need to know just at the beginning of your writing career. And those are the things that help you understand what you're going to be facing. And so if you're writing poetry, get to know who the popular poets are in these times. And you know what? Become their friends on Facebook. A lot of authors are on Facebook. I have a lot of author Facebook friends. They post a lot of things that help me learn. I ask them questions. Good move. Know who the authors are that are making money in your genre. That's a good start. And see what they're doing. And remember, imitation is the highest form of flattery. Most things that we do now have been done before. Pay attention. Know who's who in your field. Introduce yourself. Social media is giving you access to many people, celebrities, authors that you would never have access to. Utilize social media for more than just sharing information about yourself. Utilize it to get information from people you would normally not have access to.
Well, Ms. Lynch, thank you. One final thing, we got about 10 seconds.
Okay, I'm just going to say one of my favorite authors that I've read most of my life is my Facebook friend. I asked her to write a testimonial for my book, and it's in my book. Margaret Hodge Johnson. So I would have never met her if I was not on Facebook. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you so much, Ms. Woods. Thank you. I want to thank the people who called in, those who sent questions in, those
thank
who are out there listening around the world, and let poetry ring, everybody, and have a fantastic week. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Goodbye.